Good evening, Robert Hall from the Police Department. Again, the Police Department is requesting a 56-6 exception to bid to purchase eight Ford police utility vehicles from McGovern MHQ as part of the Greater Boston Police Commission Master Price Agreement and Cooperative Bid. These vehicles are in stock and ready for upfitting. These 2025 police package vehicles will be assigned to the patrol officer section of our fleet, and we'll be replacing various current vehicles that will be reissued within the department. The total pricing for the vehicles is $524,892.56, and that includes upfitting and equipment installation, and if approved, to be funded through the city lease purchase funds, budget code 499-0449, as part of our fiscal year 26 police capital budget.
All right, so before we can get into discussion, we first need a motion. Is there a motion, Councilman Foley?
Second.
Motion made and seconded for favorable action. Now for discussion. So first, we discussed this ad nauseum last time. Please do not feel the need to repeat yourselves. I know not everyone has the best of memories, me included, but they're not that bad. So if you have new stuff to say, please say it. You know, don't feel like you can't. If you feel compelled to bring up what you stated last time, please just summarize it. Please don't do a verbatim repeat. That is not worth even your time, let alone anyone else's time. So, first light on, we have Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I had made quite clear at the last meeting, we will not be supporting or voting in favor of eight vehicles. A compromise was suggested by by myself for four vehicles, and a counter compromise was made by Councilman Louise for six. Compromise is fine. Now, the last thing I'm going to say, I'm going to read this into the record because it's something that was just presented to me, or actually sent to me earlier today. And this is from Michael DiBiase, President and CEO of RIPAC. Quote, yes. Rhode Island continues to rank among the higher spending and higher tax states in the nation. As revenue growth slows, policymakers will need to focus their energy on controlling spending and promoting competitiveness and economic opportunity in the Ocean State. Understanding where we overtax and overspend relative to other states is an important starting point in that effort. Policymakers should be asking why we are markedly outspending not only the nation, but also other New England states in areas like public safety, government, and government administration. It is also critical to focus on areas of underinvestment that support economic growth, like higher education. So, whether people want to admit that we have a spending problem is entirely up to you. I think we do. And I think that controls need to be reined in on this spending. So to proceed cautiously with this, I think it's quite appropriate to have a compromise. I went to the yard and I viewed the vehicles that we have there. And the first thing I saw was two rows of vehicles that they appear to be brand new. Obviously, many of them are not. But I didn't leave there feeling that we need to vary from what has been stated by the administration and the police department, that the rotation of vehicles is anywhere from 5 to 6 years. We do not have that now. That is not what is happening now. This is not a rotation every 5 or 6 years. I believe it was stated that this rotation right now is actually like 3.5 years. Interestingly, this morning, I was at Station 4, Fire Department, looking over their equipment. And their rotation of vehicles is 15 to 20 years. I guess one could argue, who has the hottest use on the vehicles. But this is about spending. It's not about revenue. It's about spending. The police department also made me aware that day that after the first of the year, they're going to be coming to us for two motorcycles and also another dive truck. So somewhere along the line, people need to look at this credit card debt that we're running up and ask yourself, where is this going to end? And where are we getting the money to do it? And that's on the back of the taxpayers. On the back of taxpayers who are seniors, who are veterans. Some of these folks are homeless. They're working paycheck to paycheck. So I would be willing to support a fair compromise on this, but I will not be able to support eight vehicles because it doesn't meet up with the department's very own requirements for rotation. And by the way, the last time I had some comments will say, well, it's the capital budget, we approved it. It's the general fund budget, we approved it. Here's my definition of the capital budget. The capital budget, in my opinion, is a wish list. This is what we would like to do in the upcoming year. We would like to do this, we'd like to do that, we'd like to buy this, we'd like to buy that. That does not mean that this city council has to take out the pen and sign the check. The capital budget to me is a wish list. It's something that, okay, we'd like to do this, but it isn't something do or die if we don't do this, or if we do something in between. The legislative branch of government, we are actually responsible for finances, whether you like it or not. And at some point, we all have to answer to our constituents. So I rest my case on this. This is where I am with it. I will support a reasonable compromise. I will not be voting in favor of eight vehicles. I just don't think it's prudent right now, and I just don't think that it's fiscally responsible. Thank you.
So again, if you're going to repeat any of the prior stuff, please do it in summary form. And I don't want to have to get to the point where I start gabbling people because they repeat themselves during their oration. That would be frustrating for everyone if I have to do that. I don't want to, but I will if I need to. Councilman DeLuise.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. President. Over the last week or so, I've gotten some information as to how the police department works and operates. So basically, each vehicle has a cost of about $65,611.50. So the life expectancy of these vehicles is about 15 years. Now, it's not 15 years of hard service chasing down criminals and, you know, responding to, you know, emergency situations. So the vehicles are repurposed so that basically, if you break it down, I'm just going to be brief. 15-year life expectancy. At that last year, that vehicle, it might be doing something like, you know, going to, you know, a football game, and the person driving the car might just be, I don't know, using that car as not a chasing vehicle. I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, but the cars are repurposed. They're not just discarded after 5 years. So if you look at it that way, The $65,611 vehicle is costing about $4,374 per year if you break it down like that. I mean, if they were using the cars for like 3 or 4 years and just discarding them or, you know, putting them out to auction, then I might feel differently. But when I, you know, I learned how things actually work, I got a little bit of an education. So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
Councilman Mito.
Thank you. I'm also hesitant of supporting the full number, and the reason is, again, we looked at the capital budget.
Sorry, I'm not interrupting you to be rude. Like, we can't hear you. Or it's just not coming through the mic.
I thought you liked it that way.
Now I can just do that.
In the capital budget, we looked at the six-year useful life at the time. Six-year useful life more as police rotations. When we're looking at the purchases and replacement of the 50 units that we talked about last time, and when we met at the yard, the number of vehicles within that category was in excess of the typical rotation of a six-year useful life. Also based on automobiles that were purchased and assets that were purchased over the last several years, the useful life in the purchase of more than 10 per year is actually excessive. So when I looked at historically, as well as what was put into the capital budget, and I did approve and voted yes on the capital budget with that in mind, because a typical capital budget with a stated useful life of 6 years, you do the rotation, it is 10 units per year, and we're asking to purchase more than that without any other explanation. Also, when I was with you during that time, you know, we're trying to get more information as far as what those rotations were there exceptions to those rules and so forth. And at this time, I have not received that follow-up information.
Councilman Foley.
As the council president said, we discussed this ad nauseum. In front of us is the proposal of 8 vehicles, and seeing no lights on, I call the question.
So just to wrap things up, first, administration, do you have anything, any parting words you want to add or no? It's okay if the answer is no, no pressure.
Thank you, Mr. President, I appreciate it. Excuse me. First of all, the capital budget is not a wish list, Councilman Lattiser. We work on that capital budget for 4 months. We move a lot of things in and out as the needs arise, opportunities, and whatever. The lives of these cars are far more than 6 years. These cars go down after patrol. They go down to ACOs, SROs, community police officers, details, which are very important because they generate a tremendous amount of revenue. Back 10 or 15 years ago, previous administration, previous council decided to go this route. Let's do more with less. Let's get more miles on them. Let's spend less money. And what they created was a nightmare that I found 5 years ago. We got $39.5 million in ARPA money. We spent the lion's share of that. Instead of redoing Mickey Stevens, putting roofs on, we had to buy vehicles. We didn't have garbage trucks. We didn't have fire trucks. We didn't have police cars. If you go in the yard, go and look at the detail cars. You'll laugh at them. They look like clown cars. We have plastic hubcaps on them. We've gotten them used. I mean, we do everything we can to save money. This bid is for 8, and that was the pricing on this. Now, you're also going to see later tonight Blazers. I wasn't a fan of the Blazers. I wanted the Explorers. They talked me into the Blazers a better deal. They were smaller than an Explorer, and I didn't see how they would fit in being moved down. But they've told me they can save enough money on it that it makes it worthwhile. After the police are done with these cars, they go to the DPW, they go to building inspectors, they go to tax assessors. When I got here, one tax assessor, she showed me her car. It had a stop sign for a floor because it's so rotted out. None of them would pass inspection.
A woman wanted to rip my face off because one of our building inspectors had leaked oil in her driveway. That is a terrible shame for the city. And we had to buy cars for the first time probably ever in the history of the city at that lower level for the inspectors and for what the city council and the mayor did 10 or 15 years ago cost this city millions and millions of dollars in overtime, poor service, fixing junk cars, which tied up our mechanics when they so they couldn't do the preventative maintenance on the other cars, especially in the DPW yard. We were so busy putting duct tape on garbage trucks to get them all picking up garbage that we ignored things. We couldn't do grease jobs, so then a ball joint's going to go. I'm asking not to repeat those mistakes. We came here, we asked eight. This is from a lot of research from people that I respect and I have all the faith in the world. Our fleet mechanic, our police, they know what they need. We're not here asking for wishes. We wouldn't want more cars. I mean, I don't know if you think we have parties in them, whatever. This is what's necessary to maintain this fleet that is still in the middle of that fleet, depleted from the past years. We still don't have enough cars for details. We have a hard time getting them out there. And I don't know if you're aware, the officer gets paid by the construction company, whoever, but the city charges for the car. We generate an awful lot of revenue for that. It goes in the general fund, and it goes a long way towards paying our initial investment. So I'm asking you to have faith in us. These people, me, my staff, we run the city day in and day out. We know the needs. As I said, we work on that capital budget for 4 years. I see we're going to have a rescue this year. No, we had to move it to year three because we need police cars or whatever this year. That's how we do it. But it's not a wish list. It's what we need to maintain what we have. And that's why we put it in the capital budget, and that's part of this year's budget. Everything we're buying this year, any vehicles especially, comes out of the lease purchase program that I instituted 5 years ago. That would have taken forever to straighten out what we had wrong. ARPA money came. It was a gift from the government. It is never coming back again. If we blow this again, if we don't learn from our past, 10 years from now, this city's going to be in horrible shape again. I'll be gone. Most of you will be gone. Councilman Lattis will probably still be here, but that money is not coming back again. It was sent from the heavens, and it straightened out a lot of what the city is. We still have a little bit to go, but we have to maintain now. I mean, every morning I get an email from sanitation. Those things used to be horrible. We have six trucks on the road today. We're going to have to do day and a half pickup. I get them now, and we didn't buy all new trucks. But now our mechanics are freed up because we have enough good trucks where they can fix and work on the other trucks. Every day I have 14 trucks on the road, 17 available. We rotate them in and out when we have to do maintenance. That's the way to run the city efficiently. Instead of tripping over $100 bills to save a quarter, okay, maintain what we have. We're not going over what's in the budget this year. The tax rate was set what's in this budget this year. We save money wherever we can. A few months ago, you may have noticed there were some F-150s for the police department on there. I pulled them off because I didn't like them. I didn't think they were going to have a long enough life down there. They weren't. So we just don't rubber stamp what the police department wants. We have long, lengthy conversations. And as I said, they know their stuff. So I trust them. The people trust them. I'm asking you to trust them. Like I said, they run this city day in and day out. They don't want more cars than they need. But they want what they need to have, and especially in public safety. It's not the place to start skimping. Thank you. I went on longer than I'm supposed to. Should have. I'm sorry.
All right. The mayor stole some of my thunder for what I was going to mention. I guess to each their own as far as their interpretation of the capital plan, but it would be unfair at best and duplicitous at worst to, on the one hand, demand a thoughtful, cohesive, detailed capital plan, and then on the other hand, say, thanks, but that's just a wish list. It's just, from my perspective, that doesn't work. Again, to each their own. And yes, I'm intimately familiar with the whole spend less mentality and the consequences that resulted. And many of us are, and many of us still are. We wonder why our schools got to the condition they were in. Well, that's one of the many reasons. It was similar with the vehicles. We were all in abysmal position, and then it took slash is taking years to right that particular ship. And bear in mind, the direction of spend less was taken because of claims of financial cliff, disaster, gloom and doom, which was at the time speculative and turned out to be no more than that as the years went on. Mere speculation. There was no reality to that. So, we have a motion for favorable action. It was seconded, and someone has moved the question. So, the clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. Eloise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Harvey?
Yes.
Mr.
No.
Mr. Muto?
No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Next, we have PCR 99-25, from the bid 2023-132, Municipal Police and Fire Employees Term Life Insurance. This went to the floor without recommendation. So administration, do your thing first, and then we'll repeat the process we just did a moment ago.
This is a request to extend the contract for 3 years. We were able to negotiate a three-year freeze on premiums for insurance. And that's the nature of the request. And I have one amendment to make. We're reducing the request to $308,100. And that was your last time. The initial request was $369. I'd like to amend that request to $308,100. And this is a three-year freeze on our premiums for health insurance, I'm sorry, for life insurance for active municipal police and fire employees.
All right, so similar to the last time, first things first, we need a motion before we can get into this. So is there any motion for favorable action on this item? Councilman Foley? The motion for favorable action. Is there a second? Councilman Gebhardt. All right, now discussion. Councilman Gebhardt, you're lit up.
Am I reading this correctly? This is essentially a pass-through to the city that this is the ability for retirees to purchase at the cost extended to the city their own, and then they fully reimburse the cost of that insurance?
One portion of this, the fire retirees can purchase the insurance 100% at their own expense, and we pay the bill, and they reimburse us through their retirement checks over the next two pay periods. They buy monthly checks. All of the other people, the active police, active fire, and active municipal employees, the city pays for a base $50,000 plan. And we do get reimbursements for municipal employees only. If they want to scale it up another 10 or 20,000, that again is done at their own expense. And we get our reimbursement through payroll deductions.
Okay, so we provide a certain base level of coverage.
Yes.
To active employees.
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to buy up pays the full incremental cost of buying up, and anyone who is retired who wants to adopt this coverage pays it full freight on their own.
That's correct.
And is the coverage that we're providing part of a contractual obligation that we have to those active employees?
Yes, it's in all three of the contracts.
Okay. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Could you just restate the amended number one more time?
Sure. I'd like to amend it to, for the 3 years, $308,100.
So we talked at length last time about gross versus net and why there was a discrepancy in the budget and how calculations were different. And I just want to restate that no one is taking away the efforts that your department or whoever else was involved to secure the rate lock. Excellent work on that end. Does the amended number reflect the net expenditure that the city is putting out?
No, because I've been instructed to never do that again. This is the gross amount, but I did prepare a memo that shows the cost, the predicted cost to the city. The member reimbursement, and then the cost to the city, the approximate cost to the city after members reimburse. So the $308,100 is the gross amount. We will get a reimbursement, and I calculate that at the end of the 3 years, what the city will pay after reimbursements is about $149,100.
$149,100. $100 over 3 years, or is that per year?
That's the 3 year amount. That's the 3 year amount.
Okay. So I suppose my question remains, why would we authorize spending authority for a gross amount that we will not spend? Because the testimony that we received the last time you were here was that we only pay out month over month the net cost of the city. So why does the city need spending authority for the gross amount if we only actually pay the net amount? That hasn't been made clear yet. If we could get an explanation on that.
Bill Vicente, Chief Staff. So, Councilman, think of this as a rebate or a grant reimbursement. The city is laying out the $308,100 in the spending authority. So it's the gross amount. We go to council for the gross amount. When I award a bid for a playground reimbursement, a playground, I'm asking for the entire cost of the playground. Let's take one to get $500,000. We may be getting $250,000 in a grant, but I'm asking for spending authority up to $500,000 because it's coming back in a grant. We need to categorize it because there's outlays that come through our system of $308,100, approximately based on the census. The members reimburse out of the payroll deductions the city. It's like when you go buy a washing machine, you spend $1,000, you get a $100 rebate. You still spent $1,000, but you got $100 back. So you actually spent $900. Your credit card still says $1,000. It's the same scenario. It's a rebate from the total cost. That's how it's categorized in the system. That's why we're spending, asking for spending authority of $308,100 over 3 years.
So what you're telling us now is in direct contradiction to what the director told us the last time we were here, which led to the confusion. When I asked the question, what does the city actually expend every month? The answer that I got at that time was the net.
Correct. The general fund is one pot. Employee contributions is another pot. But the check still comes through the city. So the city is spending the total dollar amount. It's coming from two pots of money.
So I understand that premise, but
I believe that's what the director stated or meant. Right. So when I say the city is both the city personnel office, let's say, or finance, as well as the municipal employees.
So the check that goes out the door reflects the gross amount.
Correct.
Okay. So that was. I think that was either misstated or misunderstood from the last meeting, that the testimony we received made it seem as though the check that goes out the door from whoever writes the check was the net amount.
No, it's the gross amount, and then we get the reimbursement.
Okay, so that's more clear than how it was presented the first time. Thank you.
Councilman Madison.
Why was the amendment made tonight to lower this amount by, I don't know, 80 grand?
So when this was presented originally, we had, I believe it was the August statements, and I believe we've gotten some additional statements after the September meeting and now the October meeting. So that's what we feel is the required amount. Because it's based on the number of employees, active, and fire retirees.
So I still can't buy into this. because, and by the way, if I recall at the last Finance Committee meeting, I believe that there was an amendment made to this to stay with the current process for 3 years. I believe that was the recommendation from the
committee. this is the current vendor for 3 years. They offered us this three-year price freeze.
Initially, when we got this information, it was sent to us and it says there is no price increase. Everything's the same. They're holding a bid for 3 years. Then we look at the numbers, and the numbers go from 133,000 to 380,000.
Councilman, if you look at the per unit cost from Securian Financial, the prices have not changed for police, current police and fire and municipal. The only difference is the fire went up 47%, I believe, and that's 100% reimbursed by the firefighters. So if you look at the costs, the current rates, this is the document that I'm referring to, it's a little table. The current rates per month, per thousand, are the same in the current rate we're paying now and going forward, except for fire retirees, which is 100% reimbursed by the fire retiree.
So, Chief, with all due respect, you didn't let me finish what I was saying. The administration said to us in the bid package that there was no price increase. The numbers were the same. That was 133,000. Then, as I look into the bid package, it's showing a request of 380 some thousand. And that didn't sound like no price increase to me. Now, there was no explanation provided to us in this binder. Certainly no explanation. Nobody picked up the phone and called me to explain how did we get from 133 to 380 with no price increase. It was only at that time when I dug in and presented the question to you, how does this work? How did this happen? That someone had to get back to me and say, oh, by the way, we're changing the way we do business. That's not transparency. We're changing the way we're doing business, but nobody explained anything in that document back then. And I still haven't received any reasonable explanation as to why we're changing from that to this. So for the, and I know there's arguments all over the place. For those reasons, I'm going to be voting no on this, not because I'm voting no on providing life insurance premiums to any of our employees. Absolutely not. Completely supportive of doing that. I'm voting no because of the process. I'm voting no because of the lack of information that is provided to us on some of these items, this one in particular. That's why I'm voting no. Totally support life insurance as required by contractual obligations. Thank you.
All right, so there are no more lights on. However, we have an amendment first to make, if I'm not mistaken. So for the individual that moved favorable action, would you be opposed to instead moving to amend? I already forgot who moved favorable action. Was it Councilman Foley or someone else? Councilman Foley, would you be all right with moving to amend, assuming you're okay with whatever the solicitor states? So what would it be?
It's in order to proceed with the requested amendment, which is to change the three-year award to a total of $308,000, $308,100, $308,100.
All right, so Councilman Foley, if you're okay with that? All right, so the request to amend, the bid before us, seconded by Councilman Gebhardt. Is there any further discussion on the request to amend? All right, seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Carvey?
Yes.
Mr. Latissa? Mr. Muno?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
All right, now this stands before us as amended. Councilman Foley? Motion by Councilman Foy. Is there a second so that we can discuss if there's any discussion? Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Napa. Oh, sorry. Councilman Gephardt seconds. Councilman Napa, your light's on.
Just one question so that I can make sense of this. So these are these expenditures come out of line item 75, 177, 178, 179 for municipal police fire, respectively. Those line items were only budgeted at $57,144 total for fiscal 26. So if the expenditure, even at a net, is $149,000.
That's for 3 years. $149,000. It's the net would be $49,700
per year. So we're still, like, my question, if you let me finish, was we budgeted in the budget for net. We're, and this is where I get hung up. We budgeted for a certain amount of money. Mid-year, mid-term here, mid-whatever you want to phrase it, we've decided to switch our accounting practices to a gross. How does the city plan to reconcile the fact that we budgeted for 57,000 and some change, and now we're tripling the spending authority for those line items? That's where this needs to make more sense for me.
So the line item you're referring to is 57,000 or 52,700?
Yeah, I mean, they're each, right. So total is 57,000.
So in that budget, it was budgeted as at the net amount. So that net amount to the city is estimated at 49,700 right now. So that's budgeted at the net amount.
Yeah.
So we're below the budgeted amount.
I understand that, but the request is for the spending authority triple that, and I understand why.
For $102,700 per year. You're looking at one year.
So that's where I'm getting hung up, is that we're
so it comes
asking
out of the payroll
for spending authority well beyond what was actually budgeted for, right. And how does that get reconciled on the city end?
Correct. So when we did the budget, we budgeted for the net amount. It was brought to our attention that it should be the gross amount, because that is how much money is going out the door. So that's why we're asking for the $102,700 per year. So the next budget you're going to see in 2027 will have a budgeted line item for $102,700. Can't change the budget now.
I know that.
So the estimated $53,000 is coming out of the employee deductions, the payroll. So the budget line item may show a negative, but it's actually not. It's an accounting.
Can we stop with the packages?
It's more of an accounting issue. Okay. It may show that the line item is overdrawn, but it's actually not.
So. Okay. Thank you.
All right, seeing no further questions, and we have a motion pending with a second. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. Gilbert?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lazza?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Next, we have PCR 100-25, 2026-213 is the bid. Purchase 5 Chevy Blazers. This came to the floor without a recommendation. It's a 56.6. So same thing as last time, everybody. Excuse me. First, we'll go to the administration. Then next, we'll need a motion so that we can discuss. So administration, have at it.
Robert Hart, the police department. Again, the police department is requesting to purchase 5 Chevrolet Blazer midsize SUVs on a 56.6. Exception to bid using the Greater Boston Police Commission Master Price Agreement Cooperative Bid. These 2025 SUVs would be assigned to undercover positions and admin positions throughout the department. The total pricing for the 5 vehicles is $206,209.75. And again, would be funded through our fiscal year 26 capital budget.
All right, so first things first, is there a motion for favorable action so that we can proceed with discussion?
Motion to move favorable action.
Motion made. Looks like we have a second. So now that we're there, discussion. Any lights? Councilman Lattison.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will be voting no on this item for the same reasons I stated on the other eight. I would be open for a reasonable compromise on these vehicles. Otherwise, I'll be voting no.
All right. And thank you for being succinct. It's a genuine thank you. Councilman Ricks.
I echo Councilman Lattiser. I'm also open to a compromise on this, but not all five. That's all. Thank you.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank the both of you. All right. Anyone else want to be nice and succinct? This is great. Two in a row. All right. Councilman Gebhardt.
Captain, can you remind me, was this part of the capital budget or part of the wish list?
This is part of the capital budget, Councilman.
And that's the capital budget that we approved when we approved the budget?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further lights on?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Is this a new point?
No, this is the same point. I still hold my grounds on the wish list, and people can make their sly little comments whenever they please. But in the meantime, I haven't changed my mind. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further comment, clerk will please call the roll on the motion for favorable action.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr.
Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr.
Kirby?
Yes.
Mr.
Lattiser?
No.
Mr.
Muto? No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Next is PCR 101-25, formerly bid 2026-183. So try it again. Formerly bid 2026-183, purchase 2026 Pinnacle 64T Day Cab Mac. This came to the floor without recommendation. It is a 56-6. Again, same procedure as last time. So administration, have at it.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. We are requesting to purchase one 2026 Pinnacle 64T Day Cab Mac tractor trailer cabin chassis in the amount of $177,390 from Ballard Mac Sales and Service.
All right, so same procedure. First, we need a motion before we can proceed. Do we have a motion for favorable action on the proposed bid?
Motion to move favorable action.
Second. All right, there was a motion made and a second. So now discussion, lights on. Councilman Lattiser.
Last week, I was asked to attend a review of DPW regarding this truck. And it was very informative. It was actually quite interesting to see what was taking place. So this vehicle was purchased as a used vehicle. And if I recall, I was told that we've had it for 20 to 25 years. I was also told, and we were told, that this vehicle has 1,300,000 miles on it. That was also discussed when we were viewing this vehicle. By the way, there's two of these trucks, not one. There is two. So we talked about the usage and this grinder that we were told, this thing is a gigantic piece of equipment. It's a very large piece of equipment. Actually, there's two. And if I remember correctly, this grinder thing is used to grind up the yard waste and tree branches and whatever else comes to DPW. It's a big piece of equipment. And it's been pulled by this truck that supposedly has 1,300,000 miles on it for the last 20 or 25 years. And it was bought used. But now, keeping in step with shiny and new, we need to go out and purchase a vehicle that's $178,000. I asked to see the maintenance records, and the chief was very accommodating. He invited me to go look at the records right then and there, which I did, and they were all prepared. They were in a big old folder. And that brought me to questions that were very concerning in reviewing those documents. How can you tell us that there's 1,300,000 miles on it when you're not sure? So in 2010, one of the maintenance records had mileage on it, and I'm not going to remember the numbers exactly, but it was, say, 350,580. That was in 2010. In 2024, it shows the mileage with a correction from 333,000 with a correction of 334,530. 50 miles less than what this vehicle had 14 years ago. One repair order says it's a 92, the other says it's a 94. Different identification numbers on both of these numbers. And now I come to the point about how do you know how many miles this vehicle actually has? And when I asked that question in the first place, it was because of the odometer reading that was provided to us when we purchased this secondhand truck. I come to a service invoice that says speedometer out of service. And I wasn't digging in any further to find out how long, but it was out of service.
Sorry, you said speedometer. Do you mean odometer or speedometer?
No, speedometer.
Got it.
Which the speedometer also, I believe, controls the odometer. But it passed inspection at some point. The gentleman in charge of the maintenance was very forthcoming, and he also had prepared for me four alternate prices of used vehicles. And the one vehicle I remember, I believe, was a 2014, I think it was. And it was a purchase price offer of $450,000. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. $64,000. And it had approximately 450,000 miles on it. So why do we need this $178,000 brand new vehicle that it's not on the road every day? Matter of fact, it's not on the road all year long for $178,000 when the vehicle we're getting rid of now, we've had for 20 to 25 years, and supposedly it put on over 600,000 miles or somewhere thereabouts. So this item makes zero sense to me that we're looking to approve taxpayer dollars of $178,000 when you can purchase, they can purchase a used vehicle like they did the last time that lasted for 20 years for how many, you guess at the mileage, for $64,000. Makes no sense. And for the documentation not to support the comments doesn't make any sense. So for those reasons, I'll be voting no.
Councilman Amito.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was at that review along with Councilman Lattiser, and I too was very concerned about the record keeping and the statements made as to what the mileage was, what the conditions were, and things of that nature, because we rely on accurate information. And looking through your own records, there were so many inconsistencies that I just couldn't wrap my head around. And for that reason, until we have a better capital plan for this and a real understanding of what we need to use this truck for, I'm not going to support this measure.
All right, Councilman Ricks.
Just want to say kudos to Councilman Lattiser and Muto for going out there, checking the records, checking out the vehicle. I thank them for their work, and I agree with their conclusions. Thank you.
All right, any, seeing no other lights up, any parting words from administration?
I can't speak to anything that Councilman Lattiser brought up because, one, I wasn't there, so I have no knowledge of, you know, what any conversations were. But the department does need a new tractor-trailer cab and chassis to not only pull our grinder. That's not the only thing we use it for. We have a 40-yard trailer that we also use to haul material around. And at the moment, we can't do that. So kind of puts us in a little bit of a bind. As far as getting used vehicles, we have had experience with used vehicles. I mean, we bought used fire trucks. Look where that got us. So it's not the recommendation of this department to buy anything used. We are still standing by a recommendation to purchase the 2026 Daycab Mack vehicle.
All right, Councilman Foley.
I'm not sure if anyone who has not spoken has anything additional to say, but if not, I move the question.
All right. So, Councilman DeLuise, you haven't spoken yet.
Yeah, I have a question because if this truck is only used, how many times a day is it used?
When we have it, it's used daily.
But how many times, does it go from here to there, like 10 times a day?
It will haul yard waste to the landfill. It's not just, we don't just use it around the yard to move the grinder. It's used pretty much every single day.
All right, so if your best estimate, you've been doing this a long time, how many miles a day can you put on a truck like that, or do you?
It depends on the task at hand. I couldn't honestly give you a number of how many miles per day. It's a 31-year-old vehicle. And the reason that, and I can't really speak to the service records because I didn't see them. So, and I wasn't at the meeting. I was actually on vacation.
Right. So even I'm using a large estimate, even if it was 100 miles a day.
Right.
Okay. That's about 336,000 miles per year, say, right? If my math is correct. So I want to know how a vehicle gets to go over a million miles.
Well, we use it,
No, I'm just curious. How do you put a million miles or more on a truck?
It had a significant amount of miles on it when we purchased the vehicle. Yeah. And I wasn't in the department at that time, so but it had a significant amount of miles on it when we purchased it. We'd never had from my knowledge, a tractor trailer cab. We had the grinder. We needed to start moving around because
so
the compost facility.
Right.
And the odometer does turn over. You know, when you hit 999,999, it turns over and then you start all over again. So with the odometer having, 300,000 miles, I mean, it very likely flipped over. That's
all right. I just want to add one more thing, which that truck will probably, if you bought this brand new and it lasted 20 years, say, at 177,390. So your cost per year for that vehicle is about $8,869 to get the life and wear and tear out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'll be repairs and stuff like that, but on a 20-year life expectancy, it's going to cost about $8,870 a year.
Right. It's a workhorse.
I just try to look at numbers different ways.
It's a workhorse vehicle. That's what we use it for. You know, where we the 40-yard trailer itself is a significant amount of weight. When it's full, it's, you know, probably as much as a garbage truck, which is 66,000 pounds. So, you know, if you translate that into tons, I don't have my calculator at the moment, but it's late and I'm tired. But yes, it's a workhorse.
Okay, that's all I have.
Councilman Napa, you hadn't spoken yet.
Yeah, just one question. Director, you said that we currently can't use the vehicles we have. Are they broken down and they're not operable?
We are not using them. To my knowledge, no, we're not using them.
Are they non-functional, or are we just, like, what's going on with the ones we have?
One of them has been out of service for quite some time. The other one, if we do need to use it, we don't take it anywhere. The most we would do is if we had to move the grinder. But primarily right now, it doesn't move because it should be put out of service.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Councilman Kirby, your light's on.
Yes. Tractor, is it just hauling the grinder in the perimeter of the highway department? Or is it going to Johnston to haul fill too?
Yes, we use it for both. It can make multiple trips back and forth to the landfill, you know, depending on what we're hauling, whether it be, you know, yard waste. We do take some of that there. You know, if we have some extra recycling, if we have, you know, whatever. Yes, it does go to Johnston. Or it could go to other places to pick up material. You know, if we needed a load of gravel or if we needed a load of riprap or anything like that, you know, we would send it to one of the awarded vendors to pick up material. So it's not just an idle vehicle for us.
Okay. Within the period of a day or a week, how many trips would this truck take to Johnston?
It depends on how much we have. And, you know, the workload for us is, for that vehicle is pretty consistent, being on the road. Like, they'll take out in the morning, they'll move the grinder if it's in the yard, if that had come in for repair, then they'll send it on the road, whether it's to Johnston or to pick up material or anything like that. So it really depends on the needs of the highway department.
So would it be fair to say if you had two of them, you really wouldn't need the two, because once you brought that grinder to the recycle, that you could use it to haul, then leave it, the grinder there, and haul to Johnston with the truck, because you wouldn't need it to stay there.
Correct. We drop the grinder at the compost facility, and the cab chassis disconnects from it and goes about whatever its next task is.
So is it safe to say you really only need one truck?
Yes.
And to be clear, this bid is for one truck. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, what was that?
And this bid is for one truck?
It is for one truck.
Right. So we're asking to buy one.
I know it, but you have two right now.
We do. They're the same age. They're both 1994s. Okay. I have the registrations in my office, yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, no one seems to disagree that the trucks in question are incredibly old and somehow still functioning, and that they have a massive amount of miles on them, even if it might be unclear as to how massive, and that they rapidly accrue more miles regularly, and that these trucks are used frequently. So whether we like it or not, it sounds like we need another one, unless we're going to rely on two that are somehow, by a miracle, haven't broken down yet, which is fascinating. Oh, sorry, your light's still on. Do you have anything else, Councilman Kirby? I apologize.
Well, I'd really like to say this type of truck, there's a lot of them you can buy used, which are very good trucks. You know, a lot of people go into business and they're hauling across the country and find out they can't make it, and those trucks go to auction. It's another avenue to buy a vehicle like that that's still an excellent vehicle.
So for administration, I assume you looked into used trucks?
We had a hard time hearing Councilman Kirby.
So he had mentioned that there's a lot of this type of vehicle around and that the used market for it is viable. And I'm going to put words in his mouth somewhat, but basically, did we look into the used market for this vehicle? For this vehicle replacement, sorry.
Buying used vehicles has not been favorably for us, so no.
I don't usually have to pull it up, I'm sorry. Yeah, Council President, we have tried to avoid, this city, as I said, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. We don't have a good track record with buying used vehicles or equipment. As a matter of fact, this very grinder was purchased by a previous administration used. $250,000, it lasted less than a year. It was useless. We had to buy a new one to replace it. A ladder truck they bought, they had got a great price on it. Within 2 months, they had to put an engine and transmission in it for $75,000. That ended up on the scrap heap. We had, and before Frances had her little auctions, we had a huge junkyard of things that we tried to buy used, to try to get more mileage out of, and it didn't work out. It just, as I said, it cost us an enormous amount of money and labor and parts trying to fix junk. When you buy used, it's an unknown entity. When you buy new, you have a warranty, and you can maintain it, and you go from there. We're trying to be prudent this way. I mean, it looks attractive to buy a used one, but we don't know what we're getting. Someone's selling it for a reason.
All right, and Councilman Gebhardt, I don't know, you're not on my list, so you haven't spoken yet. Go ahead.
I just had a quick question as to whether a used vehicle, whether we can use lease purchase funds on a used vehicle, or does that only apply to a new vehicle?
I'm not the expert in this area, but I don't think that we can do that. But that would be a question for the finance director, and she's left for the evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have anything else, Councilman Gebhardt?
Yes, Councilman, that's an excellent question. I missed that. No, you couldn't buy a used. It has to be approved. It has to be new. It has to be tangible. It has to be collateral, in other words.
Yeah, so I mean, that's really the genesis of my question, is that we didn't actually budget $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 in this budget to buy this vehicle. We budgeted an allocation of our lease purchase funds to then amortize the cost of this vehicle over a number of years. So even if we were to go out and purchase a vehicle, at least in this budget year, it would exceed our budget. I understand that we pay interest on a lease purchase vehicle, et cetera. But with the lifespan of the vehicle and the utility of the vehicle, and with our ability to maintain said vehicle in-house, it sounds like you have a good plan. Thank you.
Council President, if I could, I just have two more things that I wanted to add.
Go ahead. Sorry, I wasn't trying to cold shoulder you. I just assumed you'd go.
I just had two more things that I wanted to add. Is that okay? Okay. In the fiscal year 26 capital improvement program, we estimated $225,000 for this vehicle. So purchasing at $177,390 saves us $47,610. So we're under what we estimated. And the other thing is that this vehicle is readily available. We don't have to wait for it to be built. It can be, I don't know what the delivery window is, but, you know, our automotive chief is just waiting for the yay or nay to the salesman. But if it proved tonight, then we'll get the wheels in motion and we'll see this vehicle sooner than later.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll call the vote because it was already the previous question already occurred and there are no new speakers left. So reconvene in just a couple minutes. It looks like everyone else has returned as well. So we can go get back going. Like I said, previous question has been moved. All people who have not spoken have now spoken. So if clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinabi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. Muto?
No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
No.
6 yes, 3 no, motion passes.
Next is PCR 103-25, formerly bid 2026-182, purchase Zamboni Model 546. This again went to the floor without a recommendation. This is a 56-6. And again, we will do the same process. So administration, you're up first, and then after that, we'll entertain a motion so we can begin discussion.
Sorry. Just to recap, Public Works is requesting to purchase a Model 546 Zamboni for the Thayer and Warburton Arenas from the Zamboni Company in the amount of $122,589.28.
All right. And so motion. So Councilman Foy, I see your lights on. All right. Motion for favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Napa. Now discussion. Anyone wishes to speak? Light up. Seeing none. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Hold on. Hold on. No.
Mr.
Yes.
Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Next, we have PCR 105-25. Bid 2025-016, Fire Department promotional exams. This was actually favorable to amend according to this. So, Councilman Lattiser.
The committee had recommended moving this to the floor with an amendment, and that amendment was to reduce the cost from 20,000 to 18,000, which was made by Councilman Napa.
All right, so Councilman Napa, do you want to move the amendment?
Yes, motion to amend from...
You're going to say as stated. Oh,
as stated, favorable.
All right, so now before us, we have the proposed amendment. Does anyone have any questions on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
9 yes.
All right, now this stands before us as amended. Does anyone have any questions on the bid as amended? Seeing no, wait, first we need a motion for
favorable action as amended.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. So now, any further questions, comments, concerns? All right, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Next is PCR 118-25. Bid 2023-458, engineering service during Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation Contract 1. Excuse me. I have on here the request is to withdraw. Councilman Lattiser.
Make a motion to withdraw PCR 118-25.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yeah.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
9 yes to withdraw.
Next, on to new business, PCR 120-25, a resolution authorizing a tower communications site lease extension at Warwick Fire Station number 5, 450 Cohasset Road with T-Mobile Northeast LLC. This is public properties.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Riggs.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
9 yes.
Next, we have PCR 121-25, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management approving the City of Warwick's submission to the 2026 Outdoor Recreation Grant Program. This is intergovernmental.
Committee recommends favorable action.
And my understanding is that an amendment was proposed and recommended. Is that correct?
That is accurate.
All right. So does anyone want to move the first, the amendment from what looks like 20% to 25% for the match? Yeah.
I will make a motion for favorable action on an amendment to increase the city's reimbursement or city's share from 20 to 25%.
Second.
We articulate that right on our end? All right. So, motion made and seconded as far as for the to amend. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rich?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
And apologies, Councilman Gephardt. The articulation thing was regarding me understanding, so not you stating it. So now it stands before us as amended. Does anyone like to move this?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ritz?
Yes.
Next is PCR 93-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. This is going to be held until November 3rd, 2025, unless there's an objection thereto. Seeing none, so held. On to unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none, does anyone like to move us to the docket session?
Since there's no more business in front of this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
Anybody want to do the second? Or do we want to stay here? There we go. We got there. All right. Any objection to moving to the docket session? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. To the docket session we go. Ward 1.
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3. Ward 4. Ward 5.
Pass.
Did you say pass? I'm sorry.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7.
Pass.
Ward 9.
Pass.
All right, and Ward 8, I have 2 because, of course, I have to be the one. Ratification of collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO, Local 2748, for the period of July 1st, 2025 to June 30th, 2028. This is on behalf of the mayor.
Finance.
All right. And again, on behalf of the mayor, amendments to Code of Ordinance, Chapter 20-291, Rescue Service Fees generally.
Ordinance.
All right. And that's it for me. So we stand adjourned at 9:03 p.m.